Scholastic Audio presents The Book of Time by Guillaume Prevost, read by Holter Graham. Chapter 1. Sam. Samuel Faulkner's trouble with time started at 9:48 Saturday morning.
Sammy? Sammy?
His grandmother's voice calling him from downstairs.
Is everything all right? Aren't you going to your tournament?
Sam's eyes snapped open. The tournament?
If you don't hurry, you'll miss your bus.
The bus came at 10:06. Sam threw himself out of bed. It was his birthday, and he'd thought he could sleep in. He'd completely forgotten about the tournament. He raced around his room, pulling on a t-shirt and jeans, sweeping up his gym bag, his judo uniform, his brown belt. The tournament, where he'd be facing Monk.
Sammy, what are you doing? It's almost 10 o'clock.
It's okay, Grandma, I'm coming down, he shouted back.
In the room next door, a hysterical girl singer wailed on and on about a good-looking boy she just met at the beach.
He's so cute, he's so sweet, he makes my heart skip a beat, oh yes, the boy on the beach.
The source of this racket would be his 12-year-old cousin, Lily, who gathered her friends every Saturday morning for long gossip sessions with lots of stupid pop music. Amazing how he slept through noise like that.
I hope he's not out of reach, oh yes, the boy on the beach.
Sammy, it's after 10 o'clock.
Sam slipped on his sneakers without tying them and looked around the room to be sure he had everything. His bus pass lay on the desk next to a framed photograph of his parents and Alicia at Thanksgiving. He gave the picture the briefest glance as he grabbed the pass, then opened the door. As luck would have it, Lily and her little gang had taken over the hallway. They stood like a sort of honor guard for him, with mocking smiles and pastel tank tops that barely covered their stomachs.
Did you remember the Band-Aid, Sammy?
Lily asked with fake concern.
And some ointment? We don't want you to hurt yourself, darling. Remember last year?
Last year, Sam had been crushed in 43 seconds under Monk's fat stomach. A very bad memory.
Try to get through the first round at least, she added, laughing so hard she had to hold her sides. After all, you never know. Thanks for the advice, he retorted. And if I see the boy on the beach, I'll give him your picture, I promise. You never know.
He ran down the stairs as the girls giggled loudly behind his back. His grandmother awaited him at the bottom, holding a closed paper bag.
Sammy, what have you been up to? You're going to miss your tournament. You aren't sick, are you?
Everything's fine, Grandma. I just overslept. Dad hasn't called, has he?
For a fraction of a second, his grandmother dropped her eyes.
No, darling, he hasn't. Maybe at noon.
Will you tell him to pick me up at the gym?
Yes, of course.
But there was as much enthusiasm in her voice as if he'd asked her to have Superman fly in for lunch.
Here, Sammy, I made your sandwiches. Run along now, or you'll never get there on time. And above all, be careful. Not like last year.
Sam bit his tongue to keep from answering. He kissed his grandmother, grabbed his skateboard, and went out. He caught his bus at the very last moment, just before it pulled away from the curb. Once wedged on the bench at the back, Sam stared out at the landscape of identical little houses passing by the window. 10 days earlier, Alan Faulkner had suddenly left on one of his business trips, and since then, he hadn't communicated with anyone. Not an email, not a phone call, not even a postcard. It wasn't the first time this had happened, but still, 10 days.